Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Church Lady Now on blogtalkradio.com. Today our teaching is the Holy Spirit Effect. I am Brother Grant and I want to tell you about an exciting new approach to presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to help you and I learn a successful Christian life. Our program is designed to help us learn the Word of God, understand what we have learned, and apply the Word to our daily living. The key here is application to our daily living. As I said, I'm Brother Grant, and I'm excited about Church Lady Ministries. We broadcast every Wednesday afternoon right here on Blog Talk Radio at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. This year, we are on a path to know the Holy Spirit, who he is, and his role he wants to play in our lives right now. This is our 14th teaching in the series titled, Come Holy Spirit. We are teaching on the Holy Spirit that is the third person of the Trinity. He has a divine function, and he works in harmony with God, the Father and the Son of God. Today, the Holy Spirit is here to carry out the work of Jesus Christ in and through us. Today's teaching, as I said, is the Holy Spirit Effect. Now, let us look at some of the Bible data. For those of you that enjoy numbers and those of you that don't, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible many times. Please note that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are including all of his names, symbols, and titles, which include the following: Spirit of God, Holy Spirit Ghost, Authority, Anointing, Cloud, Convictor, Creator, Dove, Finger of God, Fire. And we're talking about the symbols and the titles for the Holy Spirit. He's also described as a hand, intercessor, joy, judge, liberty, producer of fruit, prophecy, power, rain, seed, sanctifier, wind, resurrection, teacher, third person, wisdom, and water. All of these symbols and titles are of the Holy Spirit. So, how many times is the Holy Spirit mentioned in the different forms of the Bible? On the internet, it's mentioned, according to the King James Version, 388 times. In the New International Version of the Bible, it's 386 times. On the American Standard Version, it is 381 times. And in the New Revised Standard Version, 394 times. So we can see that there is some consistency in most Bible versions. The Holy Spirit is mentioned a low of 381 times and a high of 394 times. Now, our ministry is what I want to provide in a brief story. Listeners, don't let our ministry name fool you. This is not a lady-only ministry. The truth is the majority of the people we minister to are men. And Artist Oliver, the church lady, has been involved in street ministry to the homeless for many years. The name Church Lady was given to Pastor Artist by the homeless people she ministered to. They couldn't remember her name, so they started calling her Church Lady. Thus we have Church Lady Ministries. We are called to present the good news of salvation because the Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of prison to those that are bound. Our Church Lady is one of the Northwest's leading practical Bible teachers and an international evangelist with a call to help people to be restored through Jesus Christ. She loves to teach about the Bible. Church Lady teaches on a number of Bible topics, and she focuses on helping you to know God for yourself, which will result in your transformation. She uses her 20 years of experience in live dramatic productions to bring the Word of God alive. Now, we serve the less fortunate. The ministry is under the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 commission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has called us to preach the gospel, heal, proclaim liberty to captives, and set those in prison free, with a focus on spiritual and emotional healing. Now, Minister Artis Oliver, known as the Church Lady, earned her master's degree in divinity from Covenant Bible Seminary in Lakewood, Washington. She has traveled internationally with Marilyn Hickey Ministries, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in Africa, Russia, and Korea. And she admires Joyce Meyer's ministries. Now, the good news of salvation is our ministry mantle, and our current ministry happenings are scrolling across your computer screen. We would like for you to become a Church Lady ministry partner, and you can partner with us to serve the less fortunate for just $9.99 a month. You can help us to teach the gospel and to serve the less fortunate. So to become a ministry partner, you can call us to enroll, and you can reach us at area code 253-472-6213 Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we will send you a ministry partner package. Now, let us join Church Lady for today's teaching. And our program, as I've said, is titled The Holy Spirit Effect. And this evening, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit effect, or the effect of the Holy Spirit on our lives. So let's join Church Lady for today's teaching. Now, good afternoon, Church Lady.
Good afternoon, Brother Grant. How are you doing?
I am doing well.
That is wonderful. Well, I have to tell you, we here in Tacoma, Washington, are doing extremely well today. The temperature is 81 degrees.
Now, that's actually shorts weather in Tacoma.
You know that's right. So
yeah.
I'm enjoying the day. This is an absolutely fabulous time of the year. The flowers are in bloom. The birds are singing in the morning, and you couldn't ask for anything better than that.
So let's
go. Good afternoon, listeners. Did you want to say something, Brother Grant?
No, I said let's go and teach.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you clearly. Well, good afternoon, listeners. How are you guys doing? Welcome to Church Lady Now. Our goal is to help you to live a successful and victorious Christian life and to have the ability to bless others. I pray all is well with you and yours today, and we thank you for joining us for Church Lady Now. Today, we're talking about Holy Spirit effect. Our scripture references today are found in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 9 in the New NIV version. The scripture reads, and this is exciting, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Now, let me give you the backstory. God gives spiritual gifts freely to all. The gift of the Holy Spirit can be considered in two ways, the inward gift and the outward gift. Yes, manifestations can be inward or outward. And a manifestation in this case is the experience, can be an inward experience or an external experience that affects you. In the Old Testament, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given to priests judges, kings, and prophets. But today, every child of God has a portion of the Holy Spirit. By receiving the Holy Spirit, we join company with Moses, David, Daniel, and Elijah, the great prophet. Wow! We join company with great men of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us to equip us for God's service. The infilling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with our merit, but only with Jesus Christ. Jesus was glorified when he went to heaven. Because he is glorified, the Holy Spirit is poured out in us. Because Jesus died on the cross, he forgave us. Because he rose from the dead, we have received new life. And because he has been exalted to the right hand of God, we can receive the inward manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us because of Jesus, not because of anything we have done. Remission of sins is not based on merit, but based on the Lord's crucifixion. Regeneration is not based on human merit, but it is based on the Lord's resurrection. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not based on merit. Amen? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not based on human merit, but on the Lord's exaltation. The inward manifestation of the Holy Spirit proves what a great God we serve. The gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit depends on Christ alone. Because of Christ, we are forgiven of our sins. Not because we prayed earnestly, or because we read the Bible from cover to cover, or because we attended church every Sunday and every Wednesday. It is not about us being good enough. We are forgiven because Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The principle on which we receive the Holy Spirit is the same as the one we receive forgiveness of sin. Let me repeat that. The principle on which we receive the Holy Spirit is the same, just like we received forgiveness of sin. The Lord has been crucified, therefore we are forgiven. The Lord has been glorified, therefore the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Some say the Holy Spirit is a special gift for some only because they have not experienced the outpouring. Go back to when you were saved. How were you saved? You were not saved by anything that you did, but you accepted the fact that Jesus did on Calvary was more than enough for your salvation. Well, the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes exactly the same way. The Holy Spirit does not come by anything we have done, but by the faith in what the Lord Jesus has already done. If we lack the experience, if we lack the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, let's ask God for a revelation of the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gift of Jesus Christ to his church and every believer. For our purposes, it is important to note that the church is not a building. It is the people. We do all sorts of things when we have not seen the work of Jesus Christ. However, once we have seen with our own eyes, faith wells. It springs up into our hearts as we believe. And as we believe in Jesus, we're saved. As we believe in Jesus, the experience of salvation follows. If you have not received the inward manifestation of the Holy Spirit, do like one of Watchman Nee's students did. Now, if you're not familiar with Watchman Nee, he is one of my favorite Bible teachers. According to Wikipedia, he was a church leader and Christian teacher who worked in China during the 20th century. In 1922, he initiated church meetings. And some say that that might be the beginning of the local church in China. Well, during his 30 years of ministry, Ni published many books expounding on the Bible, explaining the Bible. He established churches throughout China, and he held many, many conferences to train Bible students and church workers. That was like following the Communist Revolution. Sadly, Ni was persecuted and imprisoned for his faith, and he spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. Now, the story goes that one of his students, who had been a Christian for about 5 weeks, after a meeting, in those days, meetings were teachings, after meeting on the Holy Spirit, the student went home and he prayed. Lord Jesus, we are in this partnership, you and me. Now, we're talking about the student praying. The student said, Lord Jesus, we are in this partnership, you and me. And the Father has promised two things, glory for you and the Holy Spirit for me. Therefore, it is unthinkable that I have not received the Holy Spirit. This student is saying that it's unthinkable that he did not receive the Holy Spirit. And he concludes his prayer with, I pray that from this day forward, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon me. Now, Ni reported that this student said that he concluded his prayer with, I pray from this day forward, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon me. Wow, that is confidence in the Word of God as it has been taught. Now, you know, faith is the key. Our Christian walk is about faith. Just like we are forgiven by faith, we receive the Holy Spirit by faith. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not for a select group, but for all. But for all! Just this week, a woman came to our Tuesday prayer meeting, seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think someone told her that she had to tarry, that is, yell and scream at God, pleading until he gave her the Holy Spirit. Throughout the meeting, she was pleading with God. Nothing happened. At the close of the meeting, she asked for prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed. However, she was still screaming and yelling at God, pleading for the Holy Spirit. We prayed and she almost received it. I heard her speak a little bit in tongues. However, it did not flow freely. That is, I heard the Holy Spirit start to speak through her. After we concluded the prayer, I took time to speak to her. I explained, you do not have to yell and scream at God to receive the Holy Spirit. I know, because I received the Holy Spirit when I did not know what it was. I did not tarry or yell at God. Now, we know the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons, right? So I told her to just relax and let it happen. Then I explained what the experience may be like. Now, it varies depending on what God decides to do in a person's life. So I explained to her that her insides may feel like they're on fire, that her body may feel hot, and she may start to sweat, and that her tongue will move on its own and form sounds. And I encouraged her, just relax and let it happen. Now, that concluded Tuesday's conversation. So on Thursday, she was back again. I attend noonday prayer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So on Thursdays, she's back again. I walked in the prayer room, and she was already there, yelling and screaming at God, asking him to fill her with the Holy Spirit. I sat down on the bench, pulled out my Bible and my prayer book. I normally read a scripture, and then I make a prayer list. Then I update my list twice a week. My list consists of the names of the people and situations that I'm praying about or interceding for. And after making my list, I entered prayer. I usually start off prayer with thanking God for his goodness. Then I sing worship songs and slowly slip into intercessory prayer. I remember praying for God to fill us anew. I was praying on my knees, and then I found myself pacing the floor, ending up in an area near the lady who was screaming and begging God to fill her. The other intercessors started to pray with me. We all interceded for this lady. We all prayed on her behalf. And I heard her ask God for his forgiveness for her sins and then thank him for saving her. Tears of repentance and joy were flowing down her face. In an instant, the Holy Spirit came out of her. She was speaking in tongues. She was speaking directly to God. She had received her prayer language. She wanted her spiritual blessing, and she received her spiritual blessing. God's gifts are freely given to us. However, there are conditions. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, the conditions are spelled out. And I'm reading to you today from the NIV. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Beloved, has God called you? Now, the condition is repent. Be baptized for forgiveness of sin. Repent and be baptized are the conditions. Have you repented? And have you been baptized? Once we repent and are baptized, we are forgiven of our sins. To repent means to change your mind, to rethink what you are doing. For example, I never wanted to be a Pentecostal. I was raised United Methodist / Baptist. I did not want to look like those girls with the bun on their head, no nail polish, no makeup, and those long skirts. Get the picture? I wanted to look like a supermodel and to have a fun-filled life. Now, I know neither was God's best for me. It is not what is on my outside that matters as much as what is inside of me and what comes out of me. I am a Pentecostal by experience, not by training. Now, I admit I still have a slight fashion flair, but I remain a representative for God in who I am. So I have had a mind change. Are you open to a mind change? Now, again, the first condition is repent. And the second condition is baptism. Have you been baptized? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward manifestation, of an inward experience. Baptism says, "I am ready to die with Christ and to be raised with him into newness of life." Baptism is about the old man dying. We are baptized based on an inward transformation. Have you been baptized and repented? If yes, you have received forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some say they received Jesus and repented but have not received the Holy Spirit. The good news is that God offered each of us two gifts. If we fulfill the two conditions, God has two gifts for us. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Recently, just this week, I went to the bank and I purchased some cashier's checks. When I got in my car, I decided to check the cashier's checks to make sure I had everything correct. Right away, I realized I was missing one of the cashier's checks. So I got in my car and I ran back into the bank and I explained to the teller that I thought we left one of the checks on the printer. Sure enough, the check was on the printer. I did not have to pay for the cashier's check because I had already paid for it. The teller gave me the cashier's check and I went on my way. We are in the same situation when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we have fulfilled all of God's conditions, we are entitled to salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now it is time for us to go back and get the gift we left behind. Go ahead. It is already paid for. Okay, let's go get our gift. Pray with me. Lord, I have met your requirements. I have met your conditions for salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because I did not understand, I left the gift of the Holy Spirit. But today, I come back to you to get the gift of the Holy Spirit and to give you praise for the gift. Amen. Now, you can expect God to give you the infilling of the Holy Spirit if you have met those two conditions. The two conditions. Do you remember what those conditions are? Remember, the two conditions are repent and be baptized. Now, beloved, everybody does not receive the Holy Spirit in the same way. You will know when you receive the Holy Spirit. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, onlookers thought they were drunk. That means the people who were watching thought they were drunk. Outward expressions vary from person to person. But you will know when the Holy Spirit fills you. At Pentecost, the disciples physically responded to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is a Christian holiday that celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit 40 days after Easter. Some Christian denominations consider it the birthday of the Christian church, and some denominations celebrate it. But originally, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday held 50 days after Passover. It was one of the three major Jewish feasts during the Jewish year. They celebrated giving for the harvest of the crops, and they celebrated Pentecost for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come after him. And you can find this in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Let me say that again. The book of John, chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will be in us and that he was not leaving us as orphans, but he was sending us another. Jesus was a counselor and the Holy Spirit is a counselor. And 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, that promise was fulfilled when Peter and the early church were in Jerusalem at Pentecost. They were there for that Pentecost festival. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Now, after this happened, the disciple Peter the Rock, offered an explanation, saying, when the Holy Spirit falls on believers, some will prophesy, some will dream dreams, and others see visions, as stated by the prophet Joel. Joel 28 through 29. Joel's prophecy did not say anything about rushing wind or about tongues parting asunder like as a fire, but this is what happened to the disciples. When the disciple Peter spoke, he was under the control of the Holy Spirit. What Joel prophesied and what the disciples experienced was an extraordinary move of God. Different experiences of the Holy Spirit, but from the same Holy Spirit. Experiences of the same order. Both are in the same category. Extraordinary. The evidence will vary from person to person. It may look strange to onlookers, but it is the same Holy Spirit. R.A. Torrey, who was an American evangelist, pastor, educator, writer, who had been in ministry for many years, he died in October 26, 1928. He was a Yale University Divinity School graduate. He described what happened to him. He was in prayer in a quiet moment. Now, this is described by Watchman Nee, the gentleman that I had mentioned to you earlier. Watchman Nee says that R.A. Torrey reports that he heard God speak to his heart and say, "It is yours, go preach." He reported he received the Holy Spirit simply by faith. R.A. Torrey said that he received the Holy Spirit simply by faith. He said that God had pitied him because of his ignorance. And from the time that God said, "It is yours," that he went and he preached like a new minister, that his experience was not the same as the disciples, but he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11, we learn that the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to God. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, his righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." That's the Apostle Paul talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, when we see Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will experience the power of the Spirit. That's very important. When we see Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will experience the power of the Spirit. There are some who receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, who remain immature. For example, the Apostle Paul had a talk with the church at Corinth about their unspiritual behavior. Paul reminded the Corinthians that the Spirit of God dwelleth in them. That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. So what that means is that there were some people who were filled with the Holy Spirit that had some bad behavior. Now, also in the book of Ephesians, Paul told the church at Ephesus to pray for enlightened hearts. Pray for enlightened hearts. We, like the church of Corinthians and the church of Ephesians, need our eyes open to know our God. When we receive the Holy Spirit, God takes up residence in our hearts. Ephesians 1:18 says, "This is power. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we have God living inside us." Paul revealed to the church at Corinth the solution to their carnal behavior. Uh-oh. The Christians in Corinthians were obsessed with the signs of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues and miracles. Yet their lives were in shambles and a contradiction to the Lord. They did not have the Holy Spirit or the knowledge of His presence. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is our treasure. He is God's Spirit placed in our hearts, and He is not a it. He is a person. You see, we carry with us a valuable treasure, and that treasure is the Spirit of God. That means that we have resources within us to help us with every challenge of life. Likewise, we have power to move cities and nations. When we are born again of God's Spirit, we have God in our hearts. When we understand that we are God's dwelling place, we will have more reverence for God. Many of us have not experienced God's power, even though He is in our hearts. It may be because we lack reverence, respect. Have you ever noticed that some Christians seem to have victory while others live in defeat? The difference is some know who they are in Christ, and others do not. Both are children of God, but one does not have access to the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's an absolute statement. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, NIV, the Bible says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." We were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. When we realize what God has done for us and who He is in us, we surrender all, recognizing that we belong to God. You see, there is a power in surrendering and knowing who we are and who we belong to. This revelation of who we are is the first step toward holiness. We all reach the point where we decide our way is not working and we surrender our lives completely to Jesus. We surrender ourselves, our money, our job, and family. We surrender all of it. Once we decide that we are not our own masters and that Jesus is Lord, the power to live the Christian life manifests itself in us. So tell me, are you your own Lord, or is Jesus your Lord? God is asking us to yield ourselves to His will. That means wanting the will of God. A decision to become His servant. Now, we may have to give up someone or something. Are you prepared to do that? Beloved, when we make that decision, we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. A consecrated Christian is different from an ordinary Christian. The power of the indwelling Holy Spirit lives in the consecrated Christian. In closing today, Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which is from God. This is the effect of the Holy Spirit. That concludes our teaching for today. Now it's time to close the program. I've enjoyed our time together. Let's go back to Brother Grant.
Well, that certainly was another powerful message. And before we say goodbye, we want to bless you, the audience, with our perpetual prayer for each of our listeners. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. This year, we are on a path to know the Holy Spirit, who he is, and the role he wants to play in our lives today. This was our 14th teaching in the series on Come Holy Spirit. And now, I want to advise you, you can contact us. You can follow us on social media or email us. Now, our social media addresses are, one, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you can hit our program name, Church Lady Now, and then follow us. When you go to Church Lady Now, you go in the archives or what's called the library. Then you can look up any show, and we have more than 80 shows in our library. We're coming close to 90 shows now. So, Facebook, you can go to Artist Oliver Church Lady or Church Lady Ministries. You can inbox us and like us and follow us. You can email us or you can send us questions. You can send us at churchladyministries@gmail.com. So I want to thank you for coming with us to Church Lady Now. Please join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. And we are on a path to know the Holy Spirit, who he is, and the role he wants to play in our lives today. So remember, if you would like to become a ministry partner, please call us at area code 253-472-6213 for more information. Remember, you can go into the archives and look us up if you need our phone number. Our goal is to help you live a life that's successful and victorious Christian life. Contact us with the information on the screen, and you can always call the Church Lady. So, to get more information on ministry happenings, you can visit us on Facebook. You can call us at area code 253-472-6213, and we invite you to join us again next Wednesday for Church Lady Now. So again, thank you for joining Church Lady Now, and this is Brother Grant saying, have a blessed day when you tell a friend about us.